and I have my co-host on the line.
Hey, everybody. It's Jen C. Hope everyone had a good Christmas and New Year.
And that is right. This is actually our first show of the year, and we have a special guest for you guys. He calls himself the Suplex Kid. He is the B2 Fighting Championship flyweight champion, Mr. James Clark. Pause for dramatic effect.
Did we lose him?
Not fully sure, but we can talk
about that. Was anything. An amazing opening, though.
Yeah, I think it was pretty decent. You know, been using these vocal skills for the introduction for quite a while now. It's been a little bit, you know. We've had a lot going on in the last year. 2021 was an amazing year for MMA, but we had yes, exactly. It has been a very, very crazy year.
We've had some intense fights. We've had some rumors of great fights. We've had fights fall through. And then just the world in general. So I am not shocked that this is the opening to our first show for the year. But that's fine because we roll with it. We make it work and it'll be fine.
Yeah, we roll with the punches and, you know, just adapt and overcome because that's kind of what we have to do in this life. Like we said, MMA for 2021 was absolutely amazing. People made the COVID mitigations as best as possible to try and, you know, open the world back up and just do whatever we had. Some of the some amazing fights of the year. We've seen one of my favorites, the title defense, Kamaru Usman on Jorge Masvidal. I actually was rooting for Masvidal very heavily. I thought he was going to actually get a TKO or a knockout, and the tables flipped, and you know, missed the knockout of the year for the year prior, ended up getting caught himself, which freaking sucks, but it was an amazing fight, amazing performance, and it just showed the overall growth of Kamaru. I think he's probably one of the fighters I think has grown the most and was really underrated slash under-respected, if that's even the English word.
Yeah, that was definitely, it was a weird vibe going into, I don't know which way it's going to go, but I love Jorge, so I was like, let's just pull for him in this one. You know, it'd be awesome for him to get the belt. And then I believe that was his first knockout, right? His first.
Yeah, that's definitely, as far as I was tracking, I think that is his first actual like full knockout loss.
Yeah. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And it was epic too. It was like, it was beautiful. It was a thing of beauty. One that goes down in the highlight reels forever and ever. And then, then Amanda, who knew that Amanda Nunes was going to lose the fucking belt?
Dude, whoever bet on freaking Juliana Pena to go ahead and take the bet by to take the belt by a freaking finish. She didn't have the hooks in. And that's just what's so crazy. I was like, oh my God.
I'm still so pissed off about this, let me tell you. I'm so mad also because my disdain for her, Pena's character, I didn't want to bet on her. And I was so dumb not to put, I was going to put $100 because I always put $100 on like an underdog with a real great chance, you know? Mm-hmm. Fucking our lives would be different right now, Ace. I'm fucking mad at myself, but I don't think the champ went into that one ready for a fight. Looking at fighting.
I think she thought she was going to walk through her personally from how it seemed because her cardio seemed to be what was lacking, you know. And Pena's tough. I didn't, you know, especially seeing as she got subbed by Valentina. I even wrote her off, to be honest. I was like, you know, it's going to be an interesting two rounds possibly, but she's going to get the finish. And that's kind of, I'm pretty sure that's what her whole entire camp was thinking. That's what everybody around her was thinking. And I can speak from experience when you go into a fight and, you know, you don't put in the extra road work, you don't put in those extra miles, you don't even think for the chance that their opponent can beat you, you don't train quite as hard, you know? You kind of just shake them off. Their emotions, to be honest. You know, you just show up, make weight, and expect to crush them. And I think that kind of what she went up, that's kind of how it seemed, at least going into the later rounds, that she just expected to walk through her. No one expected Pena to survive some of those shots, and even to bang with her. Like,
yeah, it was a shocker. And we had Rose getting the belt back.
Oh man, that made me so happy. That was probably one of my crown. You know, the dog rose.
Oh hell yeah! I think that to the street, you could have heard several people on my block just yelling, "Thug Rose." it's become like a staple. I don't know how else to say her name now.
And then the her defense, where you know she came back and defended against Whaley, was just amazing. Yep. It's funny because both times where she won the belt was by knockout, and then she defends it in a very, you know, in an amazing like defense, like an amazing decision. And I don't know if she's doing it on purpose or both girls that she fought were just so high level that they made the necessary adaptations to not get finished again. But they were both like phenomenal fights, and that just goes to show the caliber of an athlete that, you know, Rose Namajunas is, and of course Whaley and Ioana. But oh my god, those fights were amazing.
Yeah, those are great examples of how far women have come in MMA since being allowed in fucking octagon with to compete. It's come so far. I mean, the whole sport has, obviously, but it's so amazing to watch these women level up, level up, level up. And especially, because you're a girl dad, I've got girls. And every time I see these women do something, I'm like, oh, fuck yes.
And then speaking of that, even the it had Valentina and like I think it had Gabby Garcia and like a few other women in that, and that was just showing like the intro of the movie itself was showing just pretty much how far women's MMA has came. And I was like, it was a pretty decent movie too, to be honest. You know, I watched it. The soundtrack was pretty decent. You know, I love when they actually have legitimate athletes in the sport that the sport is about. I know that probably sounds like miserable English. But no. I like to have actual representation. There we go. That's better. They actually have actual representation, and then to have champions there is in the sport, you know, serving as the antagonist of the film, kind of made it added the icing to the cake.
Yeah, I respect that. I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it. I might watch it this weekend. I've got some some free time. But yeah, I absolutely love when they have the athletes that actually know the sport, actually train this on, live this lifestyle, portraying a character, because it just seems so much more authentic, and you get into the character more because you're like, oh no, they're actually throwing something that you actually throw. It's not some weird combination that some fight producer put together.
Right. It's actually, because it's 2021. We have actual combat athletes that can serve as fight coordinators and all the good stuff. And then it kind of works out. And then straying away from the UFC machine, the knockout of the year that I actually kind of liked the most was we already got knockout of the year from MMA Junkie. Hello, hey, welcome back.
Hey, guys. I can hear you guys the whole time, to be honest, actually. I didn't even know I was out of the conversation. I just thought you guys weren't asking me questions yet. So I tried to say a couple things, and I was like, maybe they got like their own little way of doing it. They got to get past like the first 10 minutes or something. But my bad, guys. I was like, I was totally thought I was in the conversation. It took me a second to figure it out. I can hear you.
I'm so sorry. We would never ignore you like that.
I didn't think you would. I was trying to. I finally just backed out of the conversation, and then that showed me that I wasn't even in it the whole time. So I don't know. I have done a couple podcasts with people where they were like, they had to like talk about a couple things, and then they put me in like after, right? But
right.
Anyway, my bad. Sorry, guys.
No, because we care about your input as well.
Ace, do you want to give him that beautiful introduction again, or are you just going to cut into the last one?
No, me. All right, so
there you go.
We're going to redo the intro, as you can hear. He's already been patiently waiting in the background, biding his time to go ahead and say some words to you all. But we bring to you all the Suplex Kid, Mr. is the B2 Fighting Championships flyweight champion. And if you guys do not know, it's pretty much a MMA paragon at this point. They have lots of subsidiaries underneath them, so they have a pretty big umbrella of mixed martial arts that they kind of present. Going from about the southeast, serving, so it is a pretty hefty belt to have. It's one of the more larger entities in the MMA regional scene. So without further ado, Mr. James Clark.
Much respect, guys. Thanks again for having me. Like I said there, I didn't clue in. I wasn't in the conversation for the first 10 minutes. So anyone listening, my bad on that one. But
it's all good. It's worth the wait.
Much respect. I appreciate it. And thanks for thanks for giving me a platform just to, like, always, like it's good to see people like you guys. I respect what you guys are doing as much as, like, obviously what I'm doing. But it just helps fighters get that platform. Like, I know, like, just, like, I'm a huge Demetrius Johnson fan, but, like, there's a lot of guys like that. Like, they just, like, they're their own guys, and they do all their business in the ring. But, like, I don't know. Not everybody has to be a Conor McGregor. You just kind of got to hear the story, right? So any chance I get, I never say no to any of these podcasts. It's good to all my fans or their season ticket holders, if you feel me. So I appreciate you guys.
Go
ahead.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Scissors.
I was just going to say, you have to be a marketing machine. That's just the way it goes. But we love getting, like, into the nitty gritty, like, giving everybody a look at who each fighter is. I think a lot of times, I say it all the time, but fight fans are just like, oh, you know, what they do in the cage, what they do in the cage. But there's so much more to the fighter. We want to know who the human is, like, how did you get into MMA, all that kind of stuff. So we appreciate having everyone on. We love helping promote.
Yeah, that's what makes it interesting. Yeah, exactly. A lot of people just, you know, you just see the 15 minutes and it is what it is. But some promotions do a better job at kind of just promoting, like, one championship. I do, like, as much as I'm obviously the UFC's the goal, but I love promotions like One Championship. They just have their own little different flavor, right? And they do some things better than other promotions, right? So, the same within the fight game. I'm just getting to the point where I feel like I'm finally making a name for myself. So, just hearing from, like, Brandon, he's the promoter out of B2, but like, right before that fight, I could tell, like, he liked me. Like, I've met enough crooks promoters that I already know. I don't need a promoter to tell me, you know, they want me to win or something like that before. Like, I know it's shady. Like, whoever's going to promote their business the best at the end of the day is obviously who they're going to try and promote. So, like, I think I got, like, 60 pay-per-view buys. I got, like, this.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
No. Uh-oh.
Okay, so we're at 1408 that we're going to have to edit. Just mental note, I'm writing it down.
But no, it really is a good card. You know, I've been trying to get on it a few times, and the fact that they do fights in, like, so many different, that they do cards in, like, Arkansas, Kentucky, Alabama. You know, I think they even were trying to do some reaching more up towards my way. But
hello?
That is a pretty good promotion. Welcome back.
Sorry, guys. I hope I figure this out before the end of it.
But, you're all good. We were just talking about the promotion that you were fighting with. And
yeah, like, go ahead. They treat me awesome. Like, actually, they're the best promotion that I've ever worked with. But just like, I think the last time I really just showed them that I have a lot of fans that support me at the point in my career. And just as soon as he seen that, he could see before I even got in the cage, I had like 55 pay-per-views at that point. And I don't think the other guy sold 5. So obviously, at the end of the day, it sucks that money involves this, like, whether or not a promotion wants to feed you. But at the end of the day, I mean, you got to get your hand raised. Every time you take a loss, it's 2 steps back, or you know, 1 step forward with a win. The great Robin Black said that. Actually, I picked that one up from him, which, that's another guy. He has the same professor as me, Justin Bruckman. Changed my game immensely, but God, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Robin Black.
800%. He's actually supposed to get on the show a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome. I've seen like interviews he's done with Conor McGregor, this and that. Like, he's just, like, world famous, right? He's got the star behind his name on Insta. But aside from all that, he's a great dude. Just to have, like, he's a well knowledgeable dude, and obviously if he's liking all my stuff, and he sponsored me. I put Bink on my shorts actually last fight. He gave me $5 for the dinner and everything. So just like it's never about the money, but I have I think I got like 40 sponsors for the first time ever. I've had lots of sponsors that have supported me from day one, but it really opened my eyes. Just I haven't even made it yet, and all these people believe in me. So it's.
Well, I just want to take it back real quick, if we could. What got you into, like, did you grow up athletic? When did you get into mixed martial arts?
Yeah, I'd say I was always an athlete. I played hockey, ice hockey. I don't know where you guys are from. Do you guys have winters and stuff? Whereabouts are you guys from?
I grew up in California, so I'm a Kings fan, honestly.
Oh yeah, right on. I'm sadly a Toronto fan, but I'm a ride or die anyway. So, but I'm just glad MMA is my number one now. So,
right.
But I played for 17 years, and it was just it always kind of gave me that base. I used to be like I was always the fastest kid usually on my team on both sides, but I was a bit of a goal scorer in that at the first like maybe 10 years, and then I'd say the last seven there was guys that were way better than me and like talented wise, but I turned into quite a grinder. I just started to try and all the 6 foot guys, I just tried to take them out at the kneecaps, and that was a win for me anyway. But I'm glad I found MMA, because it I was getting into some trouble too. Obviously, you know, most fighters, bar fights, this and that, you know, didn't learn how
everyone
to say.
Everyone seems to have a bit of a background. Yeah.
didn't know how to really say no. So, I'm pretty good at, not putting myself in those situations. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff. Definitely bad apple at the best of days, but MMA has grounded me, and obviously I got a lot to lose, so
yeah,
I stay committed to this goal anyway. I think I'm like a fight or two away from getting pretty serious. So
I
was looking up your record. You had a pretty impressive amateur record also. You know, you see a lot of guys that have like two amateur fights.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I don't care what I did with my amateur career, I'm going pro, and then they lose like the first seven pro fights.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't know if you just got that info from Tapology or whatnot, but it doesn't even have like anything. I'm sure most fighters too. It just doesn't have half my fights on there. I went 13-2 as an amateur. So
awesome.
I guess I'm 27. Yeah. I'm 27 now. I went pro. I started fighting at 20, so I got like 7 years in this, and I have a wrestling base from high school before that. But I lost my very first fight. Actually, my coach put me in there with a 5-0 guy. This Louis Jordan. You probably seen his brother fight Charles Jordan. He just won last week in the UFC. He knocked. He's the French Canadian guy. I think
Yeah.
He was like all yelling and shit. Actually,
I don't like that guy. Actually,
yeah,
no, yeah, right. Don't...
He tried to fight me actually once upon. That's another story. We won't get into that. But anyway, it's all. We have enough respect for each other now. But so like that was my first fight. My coach didn't know how we had just met each other like 2 months before.
And he's out.
It kind of feels like a cruel joke at this point, because we get into this great story and then it's like, no, you don't get to hear it.
Yeah. Cause especially I wanted to did hockey. I actually wanted to, obviously everybody listening to the show knows I like anime. So it was one of the animes I watched. It's called Kugan Asura. So one of the MMA fighters actually had a hockey base, and they were saying how it translated to his balance and animation, because, you know, they're pretty much. Yeah. Right. And that's something that, I'm a sports science nerd, so it's something that made me dive. I wonder how the balance and the stability from having a fight and maneuver with hockey transfers over. Yep, we're here. I was actually getting on something I wanted to ask you.
Perfect.
Because
I kind of heard where you're going with that.
Yeah. So how did you feel like that helps you with, especially I think game on a single point in a blade. I actually get to use all your feet and toes and to maneuver how you want, and not on literally ice. How do you think that assisted you?
Definitely. I have really good balance. I would say I can definitely I've took some hard falls too. I'd say more or less let's just say I could get slammed on my head and I'll bounce back up. I did that a lot in hockey. So I learned how to be a grinder, I think, in hockey. Like I said, I was like a grinder, but I was always the fastest kid, usually too. So like I had the speed. I just near the end, I don't know, I wasn't I was at a higher level near the end, so I was no longer the goal scorer. I was just trying to lay the big guys out. So that's what I like about jiu-jitsu, right? Like I get these guys, these blue belts, or I've even rolled with some like black belts and brown belts that are 200 plus pounds, and like they I just manhandle them and they're just shocked. And sometimes it shocks me too, actually, because there's other black belts that you know, I mean, there's levels to it, right? So
definitely concur.
but it's just, that's one of the cool things about I love about jiu-jitsu, right? So it's definitely just definitely gave me that base. And just that, like I'll go till I can't go anymore, you know? That's how kind of my style of fighting, right? Like, I've only ever lost one decision where, like, it went to the decision. And, I've only ever – so usually if it in the later rounds is where I do excel, right?
That gas tank. You start getting kind of – that's actually something we were speaking about during the little the lap, right? We were talking about how with Amanda Nunes, I don't think she was prepared for a fight. She wasn't prepared for a grind, and I think she honestly got gas. And you know when you're in practice, whatever, you know, I'm used to 2-3 hour practices. That last 30-40 minutes, yeah. I'm like, oh fuck.
yeah, you could just tell she probably couldn't get motivated. Sometimes it's hard to get motivated, like. I don't know, when you're at the tops for so long, I kind of resorted to this, like when you see Woodley lost his belt to Usman. I mean, look at him now. Like I try to forget about all that, but like
this is gonna make me sad.
I still respect the dude. Like I read a meme today. It was, he came up with that rap song or whatever. Which
I'll beat your ass.
It's so sad.
And he's lost six cents. Yeah. Then like that breaks my heart. Like. Like, I don't know, there's so many fighters that are like, and I've done it the odd time. I mean, everybody changes after a couple drinks to an extent, right? But like, right. Like, where are you? Like, you watch a fighter and you're like, you know what? Like, if you can't beat that fighter's ass, then shut up and have a Coke. Like, that's, right. Like, that's,
yeah, you know, I'm just an MMA writer. I interview people, I'm a podcaster, whatever. I don't fight. I mean, other than being a complete animal when I was younger and getting in like street fights, but I don't even compare that because that's just nonsense,
right?
But I will run my fucking mouth about fighters all day long, and I piss people off so bad. I'm like, yeah, but at the same time, like, I'll get fighters on the show and we'll both talk shit, and then it's part of the thing. Like, I'm never gonna put someone down that, like, I'm not gonna kick a man when he's down. Like, it sucks.
Yeah, it's good publicity. But,
part of the culture is just so much shit talking. And I think it's like even gnarlier than any other sport. Like, we get amped up. We make bets, like profile bets and fucking money bets. Shit gets crazy.
Like, I respect, like even just to touch on that, just to like give you a little bit of props. Like, it took me a second to like respect Lorisenko the same as I do Daniel Cormier. But like, listen to this girl. I'm like, she's never pissed me off, right? Like, she's knowledgeable. Like, she actually does her job well.
And she trained.
She used to fight. Yeah.
Yeah, like at first you're like, oh, like, she's so pretty, this and that, and then like as you actually like like, I'm not that sexist. Like, I know, like, I sparred Valentina Shevchenko.
Tread real carefully right now. Tread real carefully.
Yeah, I'm trying. I sparred Valentina Shevchenko the first year I went to Thailand, and she threw a couple head kicks at me, and I was like, there's no way, like, Israel Adesanya, Kai Kara France, there's a bunch of other, Peter Yan, all these guys were in the same room while I'm sparring this girl, and I've never sparred, like, with a girl that caliber, but I'm like, obviously, if you've watched my fights, I go to the ground quick anyway, but I was like, there's no way if she throws one of those kicks and lands, I'm like, I'm going out. So, like, I just took her down. I was like, I gave her all the respect in the world after she threw that first head kick at me.
I kind of wish it landed, just to be honest. I'm just kidding. Well, actually, I think so, everyone needs their ass kicked by a girl every now and then. It just has to happen.
I've met some good ones.
And we had plenty of debates where, you know, obviously other people that I go to class with, that's also their degree. And a lot of people swapping down, it was hilarious. It was like, there's no way a 145-pound girl can out-wrestle a 145-pound dude. And I'm just like, well, I was like, being the that I am, I was like, I've seen plenty of 110-pound chicks, like, piece up dudes with wrestling and jiu-jitsu. I was like, it's the skill. It's not actually, you know, so, and it's how you use the weight. You know, I fight at flyweight too. I was like, I'm a small dude, but there's plenty of people that, there's plenty of people that I put on their head and neck or just submit. So I was like, it's hilarious. I've also got tooled up by, you know, a few boxing chicks, you know, because I box quite a bit, you know, I didn't, coming up when I was a little bit younger, I was like, there's no way this person is going to match me, speed, skill, whatever. And then I you know, got humbled. You know, body shots are equalizers.
Humble pie is always waiting to be served. That's why it's just best to, like, you know, enjoy your victories and be proud. Because time you have to have that same energy when you get your ass handed to you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It made me better. Fighters are the most humble people, right? Because they know what it's like to get their ass kicked. I got a couple buddies that just, like, they definitely, like, there's no way, like, in their head they could see some of the girls that train at my gym or even some of the kids, right? Like, there's just, like, that, but they would never actually, like, put it out there and, like, okay, let's try then. You think this, then let's go for, like, they would talk that shit all day long, right? So
the kids are the worst. Those little ones are assassins, man.
I got a couple of kids where you're just like, man, it makes you think you wish you got into it a little bit earlier too. Where, like, you see some 15-year-olds that are like, they're well on their way, but there's a flip of the switch on that too, right? There's those hockey parents and shit that you know, they can ruin the kids pretty quick too, right? I've already seen it. I've fought a couple child stars and shit already where I can just see them fucking, they were into it at the start, and then they just burned out. Exactly. But I mean, it can go, I guess everybody's their own person, right?
So that's something I want to touch on, because you did a sport for 17 years, which is dedication that most people don't even have towards marriages. How did you mitigate?
I feel attacked right now.
No, I mean, I can feel attacked too. I mean, I don't even ask it.
I got a funny story actually, but I don't know. That's a big thing. I don't know. I'm committed to MMA. I've had a few girlfriends here and there, but for the most part, you know.
MMA is your main bitch.
Yep.
Main side.
Right.
But
right. That, I mean, same for all of us, though. Like, it always treats me better than any man I've ever been with, so it's all right.
I got a better record with fights than I do with relationships.
Right? Hey, so do I.
Actually, I got a real funny story for you guys, just because this girl's definitely going to listen to this podcast once I tell her about this. But so on New Year's, like, just the other day there, this girl, obviously, like, girls and their crazy ex-boyfriends and stuff, but this ex-boyfriend's calling her, and he's like, I know you banging this Terrell guy, blah blah blah, and I, like, listened to it for, like, a good half hour. I was just like telling my dog here to, like, be quiet. He's right beside me here, he's, like, whining, but I'm like, just, I let her talk for a bit, and she's like, I wasn't fucking this Terrell guy or whatever. And then And then I show her like this piece of paper, and I'm like, I'm Tyrone, bitch. Just showing it to her, like bugging her, and then you messaged me the day after. You were in my inbox, Tyrell or whatever. So I just like messing with her, and I sent her a screenshot of your name, and it was just funny.
But that, oh my lord!
Yeah. That's where I'm at as far as commitment on the other side.
Yeah, I'm just gonna tell the ladies right now to not expect a commitment out of this man right now. He is not in the where he is ready for that. Let this man train. Let him live his best life and be in a supporting side, yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
Whenever you're too comfortable, comfortable is where dreams go to die, right? So
right,
my language now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's just say I'm ready for the next win, but I'm definitely a bit of I got a soft side for sure, but I definitely believe in that whole lover. You're either lover or fighter shit, and I know what side I'm on.
We have a young playboy on the show right now, ladies.
I was staring at Donnie below. It wasn't in the video, but we were having like our stare off, and I did a podcast where he was on it, and it was cool. I told him we'll fight for our purses or whatever, and he agreed to it on the podcast. But at weigh-ins, he said. Or he's like, thanks for keeping my belt warm when we're staring at each other. But they wanted us to take a picture and look at the camera with the ring girls. And we were just like staring at each other. But then we got into a big spiel. I posted the video when I tagged you guys in it today. That was me yelling at him what I'm talking about right now. But then I went over and I had to, I was like, I apologize to the ring girls. And I got that other picture that you guys posted on your story there. I was like, yeah. Sorry ladies, like I gotta get a picture with you. I know I couldn't look at you while my opponent was here,
but not a big
oh, what's up.
I like, hey, a little bit of the attention anyway for what MMA brings, but it's all about getting that hand raised.
Yeah.
Concur. I've been in relationship with the ring girl. Oh, why is she touching it? It's part of my right?
No. There's no room for that. No. The MMA takes too much. Any professional athlete, it's too much. Gym, it's too much, all this kind of stuff. Their partners, whether it's, you know, male, female, whatever, you have to be respectful of that schedule and what it takes to reach the higher level. You're going to have a busy partner and you're going to have some trust. Not there, then hey, you know what, free up the spot on the you're roster fired. And look elsewhere.
Donald
Trump time. You're fired.
Oh my god, bro.
So Tyrell, you fought you said you do. You've had some fights?
Yeah, I do MMA. Yeah, so 1-1 pro side, you know. I defeated at 25, yeah. But I hopped on an easy foot. I thought it was an easy check. And just mismanagement, but it's first time it's yeah. Clubbed in 9 years, so back in front board, you know. Live and learn. It is what it is. Made me a lot better.
Yeah.
But I've had a few matchups with B2 where either the opponent pulled or things like that, or just even I'm military, so just trying to get the schedule to align. But just trying to make everything make sense, honestly.
Yeah. My much respect, man. My coach Joe Elliott, actually, he's who got me into it and stuff. But that's his record, 1-1. So, he's built me in. He's been there for the ride. I was 1-3 at one point in my career.
Shit, so, that's great motivation. So let's talk about that, actually, if you don't mind, yeah. You know, because that's it was a point in time where, you know, I was going through my divorce life and nonsense, and I went through a major skid at one point. I was 3-3, and I went from being 3-0, fought for national championships, all this cool stuff, and then ended up going to 3-3. Divorce custody battles make life suck, but, you know, I'm big into sports psychology and things like that now, you know, so you want to, honestly, you know, touch on that, because it takes a lot to pull yourself from, you know, going from a skid like that, being down and out to where you are now, where you're a champion, one of the biggest regional organizations there is. You know, dive down that boat if you don't mind.
Yeah, man. No, I love talking about that. Actually, like I said, I posted a meme actually on Facebook this morning with Eminem. It's like the rock bottom's built more champions than privilege ever did, right? Like,
agree 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
I got a roofing business and life's good. And for the last 3 years now, and I've finally not worrying about funds for the first time in my life. But I grew up with my sister and my mom, like in a little trailer park. Like, I know what it's like to be low. And, you know, I definitely don't like any of that privilege. Like, I want to work for anything that I ever get, right? But yeah, like I said, 1-3. My head was real big. 13-2 as a AMI, like I said. And, I had a few belts, and then I just I won my debut for TKO UFC Fight Pass. The promoter was a crook, but yeah, like he pulled one of my fights without even telling me. I was supposed to fight Kevin Lee's little brother, Keith Lee, and
because he's a fighter too. But,
yeah, he was a 125er, but it was supposed to be a 35 fight, and he just pulled my fight and didn't even tell me about it the week of, because over some other bullshit to do with getting Keith Lee or Kevin Lee there, and it was just it just left a bad taste in my mouth. But that beside all that, I would never put my losses on someone else. Like when I accepted any of those fights, I was fully prepared. But I used to smoke cigarettes. I used to smoke my whole amateur career. I smoked cigarettes, and then those losses too. Like, I guess I don't like talk about it too much on these, but marijuana is legal. Like, obviously, our whole country in Canada is legal.
Right.
So, which, like, I quit now before my last four fights. I quit smoking that too 6 weeks before, just because it doesn't help with the lungs and everything gets clearer, and it's just easier to stay focused, right? But I was smoking tobacco stuff back then, so I just needed to be humbled, like we were talking about earlier. I just needed to eat that couple of maybe three slices of that humble pie, and then I've been on the up now, actually. But I also did this Singapore tournament. It's on there as amateur fights, but it was a pro tournament trying out for one championship, and the winner got like $100,000 fight contract and shit. But I went all the way to the finals. I just posted it actually about a month ago. It's the only controversial fight I've ever had. I actually they did live scoring in the tournament, but so I had four pro fight. They're pro fights, but they counted as amateur because it was amateur tournament, like to try out. But anyway, I fought this 9-2. He was 9-2 from Kazakhstan, I was 1-1. I was only like I just won my first pro title in Canada. I have another one that I never actually lost. I just went to B2 after that because of COVID. But anyway, I was 4-3 and when I did the tournament. So technically, I won my last 9 fights with that. But anyway, it was live scoring and in the finals against that dude. And we were 1-1. And then I had his back for 2 minutes and 30 seconds in a body triangle for the third round. And the one ref said I wasn't doing enough. So even the ref comments on all my stuff saying that I won it. But I've seen worse decisions. I'm not still crying over spilt milk. It didn't count under my pro fights. I'm still on a 5-fight win streak. But on the podcast, I try to let it be known that it should be 9 right now.
how did you like the live scoring?
I really like that because they did it in B2 too, actually. They didn't do it my last fight. Oh, well, I don't really know, actually. Didn't go to the first round. But the one before that was 5 rounds. And I guess the the guy was telling my coach in between the rounds, he's like, because I got a couple 10 out rounds right off the start. And he's telling him, he's like, oh, that's a, I don't know. My coach is like, oh, is it another 10-8 round or whatever? But it, that's the only part I clued in about the live scoring. Obviously, in a close fight, you'd be more concerned about it, right?
Yeah. So do you think that it would be better, like, across the board for live scoring? Or do you think that how they score now?
100%. Because think about it. If one judge... But say you're a judge and you...
Oh, yeah, and you're getting fucked in the process. You got to know ahead of time.
Yeah, and if you're getting fucked in the process, then at least everybody in the... For the most part, like, everybody in the whole building pretty much gets an idea that you're getting fucked by that judge.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't give the judge the loophole, right? Like anything in all my experiences, if you, like scarecrows work great. Like, if you put someone's head on a platter, then no one else will fuck with you. So, like, right. That's the way I look at these judges. They just need to be a little bit like, we hear the odd name from time to time now, where, like, when a judge really messes up. But you hear Dana White talking more shit about the refs when they accidentally make a mistake, you know? At least those judge, most of them, when they make a mistake, they know what they're doing, right?
Yeah, that's the thing too, is I would like the open scoring or the live scoring, excuse me. But then I'd also think that if you're going to be a judge, you have to have some kind of jiu-jitsu experience also, because uh-huh. I don't think a lot of them are scoring what's happening on the ground accurately. I think that when they see someone that can't get out of anything and someone's controlling that, it should be scored for the person that's controlling it, you know, not the one that's
right
unable to escape out of there. I don't think that they get enough credit to what happens on the ground.
Yeah, no, I agree 110%. That's it's always been a problem, and like, you always hear like the new little bit of ideas coming out from time to time, but like anything, nothing's really that concrete. Like, I posted something yesterday. It was I think it was like a year old actually, but it was Eminem dissing Dana White right to his face. He's like, yeah, your opinion doesn't matter. If your fighters believed what you'd say, then you wouldn't even have a league. And, like, really, like, a lot of those things, like, Dana White just took it like a bitch. And, like, but, like, it's just one of those things that, like, only certain people can say certain things to certain people, right? Like,
right.
So, I don't know. It's just, like, with the whole COVID thing, like, I'm not against the vaccine. I'm not for it. I don't really even want to talk about it, but, like, yeah, it's one of those things. Like, if I want to fight, then it's, Canada's definitely got a lot of stuff going on, but, like, that's just how I kind of, like, see the whole Dana White thing, like, paying fighters more and judges, all that stuff, right? Like, doesn't really take effect until, like, someone like Conor McGregor or, like, some of those guys that he truly needs, right?
Yeah, so as you were mentioning Connor, like, there's a lot of people that can't stand Connor, and there's a lot of people that
I'm one of those
enjoy
guys.
Connor. You went?
I'm one of those guys that can't stand him, but I understand him, I guess.
So who are some fighters that you have, you know, as you were coming up, looking at, who do you look up to? And then who are some fighters that you cannot wait to get your hands on?
Yeah, good question. GSP, I always say it every podcast.
Oh, yeah, he's a Canadian national treasure. Legend of the sport.
Yeah, my professor, actually, Justin Bruckman, like I said, he's my favorite. He's my favorite human. Like, when I started to stop smoking cigarettes and all that stuff, like, he had a lot of impact on that. I touched on my other coach, Joe Elliott, who he gave me the start, and he's always been one of my number one supporters, and like, he'll always be in my corner no matter what. He's one of my best friends, but it's not the father type relationship like Bruckman here. Like, this guy tells me, like, when I'm fucking up, he'll tell me what's up. But anyway, he fought GSP. GSP took his belt before his TKO belt, which I fought for the same promotion later in life,
right.
But yeah, and Bruckman was a little older, so he was on his way out, and that was when GSP was obviously just starting out, right? So,
right. But,
like, even, like, and he's fought some other, like, real talented guys in Japan and stuff too, so, like, he's just a a pioneer of the sport, like I said. So it's good to have those type of people in my corner. I don't pay much attention to, you know, like, yeah, I just like how GSP did it. Obviously, like, for a guy who can barely speak English that well at the start, he definitely was almost as popular as, like, someone like Conor McGregor, but he did it without changing a little bit, I guess, because
McGregor... Yeah, he was very respectful and kind of soft-spoken, and... Right. The ladies loved him too, so that doesn't hurt at all. You got to have a little bit of that sex appeal in the game too. So, but yeah, he was a little bit of everything, well-rounded fighter. He always was growing. The next fight, he would come with something you didn't know he had. Even when he said he was going to retire, he was still in the gym training and fucking doing gymnastics and shit. Dude's crazy. Like, I love it.
I think he wanted the Khabib fight, to be honest. I saw he left his. I went fanboy on that one, and I did my research, and, like, near the end, it, like, GSP was the one saying, like, if he did say that he's too old to do it at 155, so, but he hinted at, like, 165, and he was respectful with Khabib's dad dying and stuff, so he didn't want to, like, push it, but he basically said, like, now or never, and Khabib, to me, was the one that he's just been talking on the internet since chirping Aldo, but I'm way more of a Khabib fan than obviously my style, opposed to Conor McGregor. I hate Conor McGregor compared to Khabib, but I just don't like some of the antics. Like, I don't like how he insulted. I don't know if you guys caught the Aldo post, how he insulted Aldo, saying how Aldo already lost to Peter Yan, so he's never going to get the 35 belt back, and he should basically just stop trying, right? That kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then he also told Mike Tyson not to smoke weed on the podcast when he did his hot boxing podcast, which, I mean, I get it, but you don't like weed and stuff. But I don't know. I feel like he was insulting Mike Tyson.
Yeah, actually, Khabib was the one that was talking about the not smoking weed, and he doesn't like ring girls, and he doesn't think women should be in fighting and shit. Right. And I was like, hold up. Okay. Listen here. And I, you know what, I'm every culture believes in different things, and that's their thing. But, I, now that he's going to start his own promotion and he's starting to get fighters lined up, I'm curious to see if he'll have ring girls. Ace, you there? Hello. All right. Well, I have lost James, and Ty is not here. So we're going to put this as an editing point right here. You guys there? So we were talking about, then I wanted to ask you before we wrap this up, what are some fighters that you can't wait to get in the cage with?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about that. I totally dodged that question. That's actually, that's the only thing I'm actually concerned about right now. So, B2 threw a couple names at me. They, I don't know if you guys seen, they've been trying to get me to fight that Pender guy, which I don't. I like the fight. Like, he has a win over that Donnie guy, so, like, it interests me. He also knocked out one of my buddies, this Terry guy. We're not, like, good buddies, but he, I've known him for a lot of years, and I know his coach pretty well, but, that was his last win, knocking out, the Terry guy. So I would like to, definitely fight him, but, I already accepted a contract with that guy, before I fought Donnie, and then he agreed to it, talked a bunch of shit, and then he backed out. And I already kind of was hesitant because I knew he's got, like, I don't know, like 35 fights, but he's never made flyweight. So, like, I don't know. Mm. At my level, I'm like, I don't need guys. I don't need to fight guys that are going to miss weight by 5 pounds or something, or could, right? Like, it's a high risk, high reward. He's got a shitty record. I know he's good. Like, he knocked out my buddy, so I know how good he is. And he's black belt, this and that and stuff. But he's got a shit record too. So opposed to like this other guy, they're trying to match me up with Anthony Cazano. He's 6-1. Comes from Stanford MMA, Chandler, Michael Chandler's gym and stuff, right? Like he's a stud, but I could tell he's not. I don't think he's into it. Like I don't think he's that hungry. And he definitely fought the competition I fought, but that looks a lot better from the UFC's point of view, right? But I've never been that type of guy. Like, obviously, they're all tough fights, and
but no, you have to be smart.
I'm pretty good at putting myself first in these scenarios too. They keep trying to match me up with some fucking Tony guy that I fought in amateur. He was one of my L's back in amateur, and I want that fight. I'm not trying to dodge it like a Tito Ortiz type fight, but you're not even allowed to have fans and all that stuff in Canada, and like I got a good thing going with B2, so but they're trying to act like I'm running from it and this and that, but at the same sense it's just like it just doesn't, why would I fight in Canada if you're not even allowed to have fans? And I like to fight. I got to party in Nashville after my fight after that one, so it was like,
and that's where I'm by right now.
Oh yeah, nice. Like
about 30 minutes away from there.
Nice. That's like beautiful place, right? Like, especially for someone who's never been there. So but at the end of the day, it's all about getting your hand raised. I don't really care wherever it brings me. It's all just added, right? But those are the two guys anyway right now. I have a couple more offers from Canada. There's a couple of promotions, but like I said, there's a couple things holding me back on going that way. So
it's always good to be wanted in multiple promotions, though. So
yeah, exactly.
Keep your options open.
And it's when guys throw me offers, when these guys throw me offers, all these promoters are starting to actually like me, where they're like, oh, we'll match that. You know, they don't want someone else acting like they run a better show. So, but at the same sense, it's about staying loyal. I know how easy it can be right now to hurt feelings as well, right? So I'm a loyal person and fighter. So at the same sense, I just got to make sure it all works out in my favor.
So something that I want to say, a few things actually. One, I despise people that miss weight. All my losses as an amateur were the people that freaking miss weight. So I hate people that miss weight.
Me too, man. Never miss weight in 35 fights, so I'm in your corner on that. But.
Yeah. And then I know outside looking in, people's like, oh, it's just a few pounds, whatever. That's 16, 32, 48 plus ounces of fluid inside your body. That's an extra meal. Like, it's so much that goes into it. But you taking what's best for your career, I just signed a new management. Like I said before, I was a dumb guy. But like, sure, I'll take it. Because, of course, I'm the best in the world in my head. But you also have to think long game, you know, because it's a war, not a battle. You know, like, sure, take this, whatever, boom, you know, because we've been offered a few guys, whatever, here and there. And me, I'm dumb. I'd be like, yeah, sure. The manager, like, no, this dude hasn't trained, blah, 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 blah. You know, you bring a decent following. You have to do what's best for you career-wise because you're trying to make it to the big. You can't just fight whoever, X, whoever, whatever. You know, you need to do things strategic, you know.
Yeah.
You have to do things that the UFC is going to look at. You got to play the game in so many different aspects than what the average fan is even think of. So you're doing it.
Oh, there's so much politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, so much. Right.
Yeah, there's nothing for it. Like, something my manager told me because they offered me a guy, whatever. I think he was like 3-7 or something like that, whatever. And I was like, whatever, easy. And they was like, no, that's dumb. They offered another guy, he was like 5-2. I'm like, sure, why not? I'll take it. They're like, no, that's dumb.
Like,
you need to do what's going to make you grow and what's best and challenge you in increments, and also, you know, be entertaining at the same time, you know, let's be honest. That's all people care about.
Yeah, exactly. You got to put them asses in the seats. So, but, I'm on the up right now. Like, yeah, you guys both knowing the game well, right? It's a roller coaster, so I'm just enjoying the ride. But a lot of ups, a lot of downs. Still is
fun. You're riding that wave well. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, honestly, I love to get fighters from other promotions on, especially lower weight guys. I'm uber biased. I'm a flyweight, so
I think we have the most bantamweights and the most flyweights on the show out of any other podcast. Honestly.
That's awesome. To be honest,
we're a little biased. Although I do like to bring in the big boys every now, because I do like the 205 and the heavyweights.
Yeah, but for
those
sure.
Those are few and far between.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, like a lot of people talk about like the heavyweights, and like obviously you guys know the flip of the switch, like Dana White kind of talking about like getting rid of the flyweight division,
and stuff,
and all that.
Oh yeah, we went through that with Shorty Torres.
Shelton.
Yeah, we had a lot of those boys on there.
Both of them.
Nice. Yeah, Monkey God. Yeah, we had all of them on here right when that was all going down. We're like, what the fuck? You guys are entertaining as shit. First of all, those divisions are fast as fuck.
Yeah, the little people are people too, right?
Is insane.
Exactly. We have rights.
Yeah.
Dude, I still can't get over when Demetrius Johnson caught an armbar in the air and then landed it on the fucking ground. Like, I still can't get over that shit. And you don't see fucking heavyweights do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got fired up for a second.
Elite, like, from a bettor's perspective, I guess, right? Like, you, like, if you're thinking, like, oh, I want to see blood, or, like, most people are like, okay, like, for that, it makes sense. These heavyweights, they're gonna throw hands, you know, like, that one overweight guy, I think he was, like, I forget what his name was, like a month or two ago, but he hit him with like a really weird spinning back kick or something. And this guy was like, he reminded me of like a short version of like Big Country Nelson, but like nobody's ever thrown a kick at that weight like that. Like,
oh, but, you just want Chris? So, come on, Chris Barnett. Yeah, okay, I know.
Yeah.
I know that guy as well. Yeah. Super athletic. He's a monster.
Yeah, I think he fought in B2 or something or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he fought in B2. He fought for XFC. Yeah.
That's why I paid attention. he's an exciting dude, right? Like, so you see the odd thing like that, but for the most part, like, what happens, happens. But I don't know, people seem to forget, like, what happens when the odd time in those heavyweight fights when those two guys get tired and you end up fucking shaking your head for two rounds, you know, especially if it was a five-round fight.
Do we all remember what happened with Ngannou and Lewis? It was the most boring fucking fight.
And those are two
But, I mean, if you look at, like, flyweight.
Even Alisonia and what's-his-face there, that was a real boring. He took some criticism, and Alisonia's one of the most exciting guys, right?
Yeah, I
like the dude. Like, he's, like, look at all his other fights that happened in fighting, right? But
yeah, both those guys are freaking murderers, but it just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that combination.
The matchup at the best. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But right, that's MMA.
Smaller guys, I think. Well, even with the women too, because obviously that's mostly a smaller weight class. But the technique is what I like to watch, because yeah, someone could get knocked out, but that's one of those things where it's like, okay, I could watch someone get knocked out anywhere. Like, not to sound like a bitch about it, but I want to see the technique. I want to see the flow. I want to see I want to see the game go down. You know, like, that's why I watch this instead of boxing exclusively, because there's so many chess pieces in motion at the same time, and I love seeing how people adjust and what shit he got out of that. And like, there's just not that when you're standing there just trying to go for a headshot.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I can totally relate to exactly what you're saying. Like, I got into it for the similar reasons. I like I'm a less rules the better guy, but. You know, whatever you bring to the table, like, you know, let's put like we were talking earlier, like, you guys, like, sometimes you'll want to walk out of the dark room. You know, like, I watch a lot of like motivational stuff from like David Goggins, and just like, just gotta callous that mind, right? A lot of people, they at first, like, I've seen guys 5-0, they taste that one loss, and then it's just downhill or something, right? Like, a lot of people just don't know how to deal with the downs, right? So, I'm thankful for what I got, and I finally found happiness in the grind, I think. So, I think that's where I'm at right now. I just need to get a camp going and give some people something to talk about.
Well, you definitely gave people stuff to talk about today on the show. Let me tell you,
I appreciate that. All I'm gonna do is tell that girl I told him about that.
You just got to be careful how you sell that story to her, okay?
Right.
Let me just tell you, as an old woman, you've got to be careful.
I might put you on that game right now. Some advice on that later. No.
Yeah, like, hey, I mentioned you on the podcast, you know? Like, you're fine now.
Just don't listen to how I brought it up. But this is the time where we're going to start wrapping it up. So if you want to give a shout out to your gym, your sponsors, any of that. Oh, my God, we lost him.
Well, I'll fill in some little media time for a little bit. So something I thought was extremely funny, but annoying. So flyweights actually has the highest action output in any like MMA fight. And but what's funny when you look at like online, what has the highest amount of views and lookups is like the street views. So there's other nonsense because people don't. Most sad.
Are you guys there?
Welcome back.
Yeah, sorry guys. last one, I promise.
It was perfect timing, but yeah, Ace. Like to what you were saying, it definitely you guys don't get enough credit at that those weight divisions.
Yeah.
The highest output has the highest finishing rate. Highest output, highest finishing rate, most technical. Because at heavyweight, you know, there's gonna be knockouts X, Y, and Z. But everybody's moving so fast. Everybody's so technical at the lighter weights that there's a smaller margin for error. If we're gonna go skill by skill, I'm slight biased, of course, but I think. The lighter weights have to be more technical. You won't survive, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we'd be drilling that suplex to arm bar, right, Tyrell?
Yeah. But at the heavyweights, you just need to capitalize on their one lapse of judgment and boom. But ours, you know, you capitalize on that one lapse of judgment, they're not dead yet. You still have to, you know, finish it up. You still have to do 800 more things, you know, So that's why it comes down to that. But flyweight actually has the highest finishing rate, even in the UFC.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Learn something new every day.
Right. And this is when they were talking about getting rid of it, actually.
Really?
That was so stupid. That was pissing me the fuck off. I was like, why do we have a women's 145 division with three fucking fighters in it? Drop that shit. Bring in the female atom weights. Like,
yeah, exactly.
One. What's her name?
Megan Anderson's gone, or Megan Anderson's gone.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. So now
didn't she fight for the title not long ago?
Yep. Right after that fight, they cut her. Actually,
because there's only four people in the fucking division, it was like anytime someone fought at 140.
Yeah.
It was like no division.
Every fight was a number one contender's fight.
Right.
Dana's got too much ego.
Yeah.
Shit was wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we gotta wrap it up. It's been fun, and I hope that you come back on. And if you want to give a shout out to your sponsors and your gym and whoever else, like, now's your time to give out your social media so people can follow you, all of that.
Much love. So anyone listening, all my sponsors, I'm not going to try and rhyme those off right now because I'll miss one. And then
understandable.
Yeah, but love you guys. Like I said, if you're listening, camp starts basically right now, aiming for the end of March. So hop on board. Obviously, I need all the support I can get, as usual. I know times are tough in COVID, so it's just whatever you can do helps. And all my coaches, everything's shut down right now, so all our gyms basically, we're in the middle of a lockdown again down here. So hopefully the cops ain't listening, but I won the belt in the middle of a lockdown training illegally, so we'll do that again. But thanks again for having me, guys, and hopefully I can get back on after the W.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us and giving us the time to get to know you better.
Yeah, much appreciated. And we'll have to get on the mats, do some training down the road, Tyrell.
Oh, definitely. Let me know.
I know you train too, so
yep.
Maybe we'll get some jiu-jitsu in there, Jensi.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks.
I gotta dip out. I gotta get my kids. So I'm just gonna say goodbye to everybody and thank you everyone for your support through the last 4 years. Going into 2022, we've got amazing new things coming for everybody. So I'm just going to say we love you guys. Have a great day. And also, we got UFC coming up next weekend. So be fucking ready for something to live for.
Boom.
Goodbye.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
That's all, folks.